Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Charlie Baker continues to rank as America's most popular governor. A poll last month gave Baker a 75% approval rating. Moreover, just 17% of respondents said they disapprove of the job Baker's doing. And yet, some Democrats are ready to challenge Baker in the 2018 gubernatorial election. We recently spoke with one of them, Bob Massey.
We have deep structural problems in Massachusetts that require us to be honest, face them, and address them.
You can go to our website, radioboston.org, to listen to our full conversation with Massey. Today, we're joined by another official entrant into the gubernatorial race, Jay Gonzalez. He's the former head of CeltaCare Health Plan and New Hampshire Healthy Families. He also served as the Secretary of Administration and Finance under Governor Deval Patrick. Jay Gonzalez, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
Okay, so you are going up against the nation's most popular governor. I mean, give us your pitch. Why do you think you'd be a better governor than Charlie Baker?
Well, I think we see the job very differently. I think we need leadership in the governor's office. We've got a lot of big issues that are holding people back, and we're not only not making progress on them right now, we're not even trying. I want to bring a different type of leadership where we're actually taking on these big challenges that people face. One of the things I love about us as Americans and as people in Massachusetts is we've always believed we can overcome any challenge if we set our sights high and we work for it. And that's the type of government I think we need and what we need in the governor's office. I'll give you an example. Early education and child care is one of many issues that we need to make progress on. This is an area where this could be game-changing for children in our state, particularly lower-income children. The research is really clear on this. And for their parents, if they had access to affordable, good-quality child care and preschool, it would allow them to go back to work. This is an area where we're doing virtually nothing right now that can make a huge difference for kids and their parents. It's a top priority of mine. And that's the type of leadership I want to bring to the governor's office.
Okay, so let's stick with early ed there for just for a second here. I mean, how you're implying that you believe that Charlie Baker has done little to nothing on this? Is that your take?
That's exactly my take. There's no plan for moving us forward. We have tens of thousands of families in this state who can't afford early education. We've got a workforce in the early education area that's getting paid an average of $25,000 a year.
So they can't even afford to send their own kids, right?
It's 40% of them are on state assistance. It's way too expensive for families to send their kids. And so this could be game-changing for kids in terms of giving them the solid start they need to be successful in school and allow their parents to go back to work. So this is an example of an area where this could be a huge difference for kids and families, where our governor right now has no plan for moving us forward or for taking us to where we need to be.
So what are the specifics of your plan? How would you, first of all, let's get down to dollars and cents. How would you pay for providing greater access to early childhood education?
So this, I'll be clear, this will cost hundreds of millions of dollars. I've been honest about that. But I'm supporting a ballot question that's going to be on the ballot in 2018, which would impose a new tax on incomes over $1 million a year. It would affect very few families who've done very well in this state and raise a lot of new revenue that would be invested in education and transportation. That would be a source of funding for this. But
so
I've been clear.
Can I just jump in here for a second?
Yeah.
So because a lot of folks that we've talked to are staking a lot of hope on that potential millionaire's tax. But even if it passed the voters, and Massachusetts voters actually don't take too kindly to tax increases of any kind at the ballot, this one would have to go through a constitutional convention, wouldn't it?
It's got to be passed twice by two legislative sessions, and it's already been passed once by the legislature. It's likely going to be passed again this year, and then it would be on the ballot. And if it passes at the ballot, it would amend the Constitution and become law. So the vote in 2018 would be the decision.
Okay.
And, you know, this is something I think we desperately need. Our governor has said no new taxes. He's taken no position on this ballot question. This is another example of him sitting on the sidelines and not taking a position. We got to be honest about the fact that we need additional revenue for our transportation system, the T, which is a whole other area, for education, for things like what I just talked about in terms of early education and care, which will make a huge difference for families in this state. And, you know, I'm being honest with people. We need that revenue. I think this is a fair way to raise it, which is why I support it. We're asking those who've done great during this economic recovery to pay a little bit more so that we can invest in supporting those families who've been having a hard time getting ahead.
Mm. You know, you were Secretary of Administration and Finance under Governor Deval Patrick, so you know the ins and outs of the state budget very, very well. So you also know that right now the current administration, you know, Governor Baker's administration is facing, what is it, almost a $500 million budget gap. So that's not just sort of a missing projections by a little bit. That speaks to a fundamental structural problem I think Massachusetts has got to deal with moving forward. Do you have more solutions to those structural problems beyond, you know, a millionaire's tax?
Yeah. So one of the causes of this is Governor Baker's been mismanaging the budget. He's been irresponsible and how he's been developing the budget. He has not been following policies we put in place when I was there, like not budgeting against volatile capital gains tax revenue. And as a result, he's been in this situation where he's constantly having to go back and plug holes in the budget and scramble at the end of the fiscal year to get it in balance. And it's resulted in emergency cuts to really important programs like opioid addiction treatment programs and other programs that people depend on. And he's setting us up for a fiscal crisis. There's way too little in the rainy day fund right now. There was more in the rainy day fund when I left state government at the end of the recession than there is today under Governor Baker after a period of economic growth. And it is irresponsible. I have said one of the things that I would support is freezing the income tax rate where it is. It's supposed to go down. Right now it's 5.1%. It's supposed to go down all the way to 5% over the next couple of years. Governor Baker supports cutting that tax further, and I think we can't afford it right now.
Well, Massachusetts voters wanted it down to 5%.
They did almost 20 years ago, but we have a responsibility. The legislators and the governor have a responsibility to assess where we stand and the current context. And we simply can't afford to cut taxes further right now. We can't afford to cut the income tax. Governor Baker is struggling to preserve programs and services that people depend on, and it has impacts on people. And we just can't afford it. So I'm supporting freezing the tax where it is. And in terms of the new investments we need to make, I'm supporting asking those who've made more than $1 million a year to pay a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you going hard and passionately against Governor Baker here. And I want to ask you about a couple things that you just said. You know, you're implying that the Governor Baker is mismanaging the Commonwealth. But on the other hand, when Governor Patrick left office, if I remember correctly, he left Governor Baker with more than $700 million budget deficit at that time. So, when you're starting with that kind of challenge.
Yeah. So I wasn't there the last 2 years of the Patrick administration. I think the representations about how big the budget deficit was that Governor Baker inherited, there are a lot of different opinions about that. What I can tell you is when I was there during the Great Recession, we successfully managed the budget. We did so while preserving important investments in public education at record levels and in infrastructure at record levels, and achieved the highest bond ratings in state history when I was there. Governor Baker has failed to manage the budget. He's been scrambling to close budget holes. He's been cutting funding for programs that need it, and he's put our bond ratings at risk. They're on negative watch. And this is supposed to be his whole case for being governor, that he's a great manager. He has not been managing well. The biggest reason I'm running,
let me just jump in here.
Yeah.
If you were in his spot,
yeah.
if you had come into office when he did, what would you have done differently?
Well, if I had been in his spot, I would have followed the policies we put in place and there were many, to ensure that we didn't get in this situation where we're budgeting against irresponsibly against revenues we shouldn't be, and in a situation where we're having to close budget holes at the end of the year. But here's the thing I want to make. His whole case for being governor is that he'd be a great manager. I think he's failed at that in a lot of respects. The real reason I'm running, I think we can do a better job managing state government, but the real reason I'm running is it is not good enough to simply manage government well. We need to do that, but we need to be aiming higher. We've got lots of big challenges we're facing that are holding people back. And right now, we're not only not making progress on them, we're not even trying. Whether it's the transportation system or education or the environment or criminal justice reform, these are big issues we need to take on. And we need a governor that is going to set an agenda and provide leadership to make progress. That's what we've always been about.
So, again, I hear your as I punch my own microphone on accident, I hear your passion about this, but I have a hard time stepping away from the fact that I'm not sure Massachusetts voters agree with you. I mean, 75% approval rating across the Commonwealth in a blue state is pretty darn good. They're not seeing that same Charlie Baker that you're painting right now.
Well, my campaign just started. There hasn't been anyone out there presenting a contrasting view for the type of leadership we should have and could have and should expect, or holding him accountable, honestly, for whether or not he's actually doing a good job managing. But I'll tell you, as I go around the state and meet with people around the state, there are a lot of people who are very frustrated with a lot of stuff. Take the tea as one example. People cannot depend on it to get to work on time. And this is another example of an area he said he was going to fix. It is not fixed. It's far from it. And, you know, he's jacked up fares.
But to be fair, the T has been broken for many an administration. Governor Patrick didn't fix it either.
No, but Governor Patrick did make steps forward in terms of providing additional funding for it. And the fundamental problem the T has is a lack of investment. We got to be honest about that. And Governor Baker has not proposed new funding for the T, other than jacking up fares on riders beyond what was planned.
But, you know, he's not the only politician on Beacon who doesn't want to increase or diversify or make new revenue sources. I mean, the Speaker of the House, Bob DeLeo, has said he doesn't want to raise new taxes or raise tax spirit either.
I'm telling you what I would do as governor.
And but you would have to work with DeLeo.
I would. I know the Speaker. I worked closely with him on a lot of issues when I was there, and we got a lot of big things done together. It's one thing to get along with the legislature and for everyone to get along and be collaborative, as, you know, a lot of people say Governor Baker has. But to what end? Yeah. We need to get things done. We need to make progress. And the T is a great example of an area where we got to be honest about the fact that if we're going to get the system to a place that people can depend on and the service that they deserve and get it to a state of good repair quickly, we need more money to invest in that.
You know, I really appreciate the fact that we've been engaging – that you've been engaging with me on matters of dollars and cents and policy. I don't want to run out of too much time before we have a chance to get a quick, better sense of who Jay Gonzalez
is. Yes.
I should have done this here at the beginning. But, I mean, I am running out of time here. But can you tell us one story from your formative years that really – or something that's happened to you that's led you down this path to want to be governor?
Well, I'd maybe talk about my parents. My mom's from Cleveland and went away on a foreign exchange program in college and came back married and to a 19-year-old Spanish man and pregnant with me. My father, who came to this country, didn't speak English, had never been to college, and he, through a lot of hard work and this sense of optimism and appreciation for the opportunities here, worked his way from laying bricks in a city sewer system to becoming a successful small businessman. And he is a real hero to me. And proves this point through his example that we can do anything we put our minds to. And I really think that is the value, one of the American values that we all share and that binds us and that makes us unique. And it's the way I view government and the way the governor should approach the governor's office. And that's the type of leadership I want to bring.
Well, I look forward to having you back so we can hear more of those stories about who Jay Gonzalez is, if that's all right.
I look forward to it, too. Thanks, Magna. I appreciate it.
Jay Gonzalez, he's a Democratic candidate for governor. And as a reminder, you can go back to our website, radioboston.org, to hear more of our interview with another Democratic challenger, Bob Massey. Jay Gonzalez, definitely look forward to having you back. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.